by Starks and dunks by Smith. And no rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan. I'm Matt Ritter. With me, as always, is Jeff Cerulli. Before we get to him, we've got an amazing interview with a special guest coming up. Really, another exciting week that started with a loss to the Nets, but ended with a couple of great wins. So let me bring on our very special guest, Justin Canoe. He was on the Amazing Race not once, but twice, and he didn't win either time, as I understand it. He's also worked for National Lampoon's, and he has a film coming out this year starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. Is that right? Did I get that right?
You got that right.
And it's called Welcome to the Jungle.
Correct.
And you're a diehard Knicks fan, which I just found out.
This is true. This is true. I grew up in Manhattan on the Upper East Side, and I've been a Knicks fan as long as I can remember.
So tell me... did you go to a lot of games growing up? Were you at the Garden a lot with your dad or mom or whoever?
I would say I went a couple times a year. I actually moved to Northern California when I was 13, so I didn't go as much in my high school and college years. But I've been to some games for sure. You know, I was at the clincher at the Garden. When we won game 6 against the Pacers at home, I think that was 99.
Yeah.
I was at that one.
That was a good game.
That was a good game. But yeah, so I've been, you know, intermittently, and I've been to a lot of away games, which is always fun.
Yeah. Out here in LA when they come out.
Yeah. That's always good out here in LA.
I was going to ask you about that. As somebody who's a Knicks fan who lives out here now, how do you compare the two arenas just in terms of fandom?
I mean, you know, I'm partial. There's no comparison. The Garden's the Garden. You know? I mean, Staples is fun and you know, it's definitely a show and there's a shine to it, especially when the Lakers are playing. But the Garden's the Garden.
I mean objectively, even though I'm a diehard Knicks fan too, I've been to the Staples Center. It just doesn't have that same absolute, like, raving lunatic passion.
No. Definitely not. It's Hollywood, man. Nothing's out here.
Yeah. Also, they don't get to the game on time, so it's a little bit.
And they leave early. Yeah.
Let's talk about this Knicks season, especially this week. I thought they did something that shows that they're a legitimate contender, that they're really starting to do two things. One of them is being dominant at home, and the other is killing crappy teams. I feel like they've been showing a lot of that this, especially this week. How do you feel about them as, like, do we feel that they're a legit contender now?
I don't think anybody wants to see us right now. So I think that's what makes you a legit contender, is when nobody wants to see you on their schedule. I agree. Beating the bad teams is a great sign. And not even just beating them. I mean, we're, like, taking teams behind the woodshed right now, leading wire to wire. You know, that's really encouraging, because we all know we've never done that. In the last 12 years.
I'm starting to get a little delusional, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, because it's been such a long time since the Knicks have been good. You know, I feel like we have to talk to our fellow Knicks fans and, like, get a reality check. Like, are we really this good?
No way. No reality checks. Let's be delusional. We've earned it.
We've earned the right?
Suffering. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm totally delusional. I mean, I've been watching a lot of these games with John Henson, who's a big Knicks fan also, the wipeout dude.
Okay.
And, you know, we're definitely letting ourselves dream right now. You know, we're definitely, you know, I mean, the Heat are obviously the Heat, but other than that, there's nobody out there that I'm afraid of at this point. This team is great.
All right, so let's talk about some of the players. I think at this point, it's just safe to say everybody's a buyer on Melo. He's just playing all around phenomenal basketball.
Playing defense.
Yeah,
that's all star, and he's enjoying it. You know, you can tell he's really evolved into the player that everybody hoped and wanted him to be. And I think you have to include him in any MVP conversation right now. He's completely unconscious for offensively, and I hope he never wakes up. He's awesome. I'm really thrilled.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I just, like, you know, it feels like back in the day when Ewing was the dominant force. I don't feel like we've ever really, like, Allen Houston was good, Sprewell was good, but we haven't really had this kind of force, you know, in 15, 20 years.
He's a force, man. I certainly wouldn't rather have Wilson, Gallo, and Mozgov back. I don't miss those guys.
Is Mozgov playing in the Russian league? Is that guy even in the NBA at this point?
He's out there somewhere. Yeah, I think he's still getting burned in Denver. So
is Chandler in the Turkish league? Where's Chandler? Is he back in the NBA?
Chandler's out there somewhere. I don't know. Gallo, you know, is probably shooting like 20% in Denver.
Yeah, no, it's funny how much of a reversal all Knicks fans have done on that. Like let's all pretend that you know people weren't claiming that we got robbed when we threw in Mozgov.
That's right. That's right. I probably made some comments like that back in the day.
Yeah,
but I'm totally disassociating myself.
You know what's actually really funny about it is Felton. You know, I mean, because that was the one thing at the time. That was the one that hurt, right? Felton was playing so well for us, and then he gets traded away, and then he sucks for 2 years. And then he comes back, and it's like he didn't miss a beat. And he's better than we had him 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, he's playing as well as he's ever played, and he's kind of the key right now, especially with Kidd out. But I love Prigioni, man. I'm a huge Prigioni guy. Like I don't think we lose much going from Kidd to Prigioni. I know Kidd and Felton are both hurt right now, so Prigioni's going to get a lot of run. I love the guy. I think he's great. I think he's unselfish. I think he's exactly what we need. So I'm pretty psyched about him.
You know, I had to be convinced. My co-host, by the way, coined the term Raymond Svelton and actually got Felton to verify himself on Twitter. Felton wasn't even verified on Twitter until 2 weeks ago, until my buddy Jeff tweeted at him. He's like, how is Alan Hahn verified and you're not, Raymond Felton? And then like within 2 minutes he retweeted that, and then all of a sudden he's verified. So
beautiful.
Yeah, but I would say this about Prigioni. I would say the first couple weeks of the season he looked really shaky, and now he just looks more confident. Like, take your shot when you're open, you know.
Yeah, well, he was great in the preseason, and then the real shit started. I can curse, right? The real shit started. And you know, he was shaky. He definitely wanted to be unselfish and earn his place on the team. But he can shoot. He really can. And he's like as good a passer, you know, as almost anybody except maybe Kidd. And he gets it, you know, and he's been around. He's maybe a rookie, but he's been playing professionally forever. I love him. I think he's awesome. Have you ever heard of Bach?
Should we start calling him the Natural, because he's the oldest rookie ever?
The Natural. I've heard El Gaucho. Have you heard the guy talk?
No, I have yet to hear him.
Oh, you got to hear him talk. It's unbelievable.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to seeing some Pridge. Now, let me ask you this. This is the one player that I'm not fully convinced on because he still had a couple of regression moments. J.R. Smith, are you totally buying into him being a new player, reinvented, fully committed, unselfish?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got the most work to do. I think at times he's definitely thinking about his numbers and taking shots, you know, that are selfish and kind of playing the way that, you know, the bad Melo was playing last year. But I think that he's a big key for us, and I think getting his ship righted is really important. And I don't think we want him to be shy. I think we just want him to understand where the right shots are and to take those instead of forcing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is that his DNA is to be this explosive scorer, and you can't really – it's hard to harness that. You know what I mean? It's like he's off the bench – you got to provide a spark. I think it's really – he's done a good job at shot selection. I mean, that's really the key for that guy. But he was one of 12 today, I think. It was a pretty brutal game out there.
He's had a rough stretch right here. But before that, he was on fire, you know, and we're going to have runs like that with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think having a guy like that in this second unit, which has the potential to be really scary when everybody's healthy, is going to be, you know, a really nice asset. So – I don't want him to start getting shy and becoming someone he's not. I just think that we need to make him into, you know, the good version of him.
Well, let me ask you about that. That leads right into my question about minutes. J.R. Smith already, anytime a player is talking about minutes, it's just a bad sign. He was already talking about it today in the paper about how, you know, it's going to be crazy when Shumpert and Amari come back and everybody just has to be cool about the minutes and everybody has to buy in. I think he was really talking to himself.
Yeah, absolutely true. I think that he's probably going to suffer a little bit when Shumpert comes back. You know, we got to wait and see what Shumpert is. If Shumpert's his old self, it's definitely going to affect JR. You know, if Shumpert's not really back to where he was and he's still, you know, it's not going to be till next year that he's fully formed, then maybe it won't affect JR as much. But, you know, I agree. He definitely is talking to himself. He, you know, there's a lot of shifting to be done still, and Woodson's got his work cut out for him. But so far, he's been up to it. You know, he's the coach of the year right now. There's no doubt in my mind.
Absolutely. I mean, we're 18-1 at home since he became the coach, which really is
unbelievable. And the only loss is to the Heat. So yeah, that's incredible.
But I don't know if this makes sense, but is there a part of you at all that kind of hopes Shumpert isn't ready this year?
Not even a little bit. Shumpert's my favorite Nick, man. I love that guy.
I just get a little worried about the chemistry because I know he's critical, but then like I'm worried about losing J.R. Smith mentally.
Well, but here's the thing. We're really – first of all, Kurt Thomas needs to go away. I'm so disgusted by him. I love the guy, but like the guy can't play anymore.
He reminds me of the old guy at the Y who thinks he's got a shot.
That's right. He needs to go to the Y and stay there. I mean, the guy should not be on the court. So there's some minutes right there. But I think with all these old guys that we have, you know, there's going to be ailments along the way. There just are. So, you know, we want as many guys as possible to choose from. We want that embarrassment of riches. I think everybody's buying in. Everybody's having fun right now. Woodson's doing a great job. So, you know, I want to have the option.
I think that's right. I think it is an embarrassment of riches. But I think, you know, when you're talking about bench, it's different. I mean, you know, Shumpert and Smith are not Kurt Thomas's minutes are not their minutes. You know what I mean? There's two separate categories. There's the big man minutes, which right now Camby is getting none of. How do you feel about Camby being a bench warmer too?
Well, I think Camby should be getting those Kurt minutes. I really don't think Kurt should be on the floor. And you know, I think Stoudemire, when Stoudemire comes back, we're never going to see Kurt again.
Yeah, I talked to ESPN's Jared Zwirling on the podcast a couple weeks ago about it, and he said, look, the Knicks are going to get hit by injuries, so it's really good that we have this deep team.
Right.
I also think something interesting today, because of Sheed's ridiculous ejection, we got to see Copeland in real time, in a real game that mattered. Looked pretty good.
Today was the Chris Copeland show. I mean, that was the story of the game today. I thought he was awesome. Yeah, I would much rather see a guy like that out there. I think he can, you know, when he's playing well, he gives you a lot more. I think, did you say this earlier? Someone said, you know, we don't really have any scrubs.
I said that on Twitter. Yeah. Thank you.
I think that's true. Like, we don't really have anybody where they, except maybe White a little bit, but like, when they come in the game, you're like, oh boy, this guy. We don't have that Scalabrine right now.
We don't have a Scalabrine. It's weird because I don't even think James White is a scrub. He's played pro ball for a while now. He's not a young guy. I think he's like 28. He's been around, and he's pretty athletic.
Play defense. He's long.
I mean, I guess he would be the closest thing to a scrub, but he doesn't evoke that scrub, like, let's cheer for him because he's bad and we want to see him in the game.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It's kind of weird. I mean, I think we're probably definitely the deepest team in the NBA.
Isn't it crazy? And I will admit, coming into this season, I did not know what we had. I really didn't. I mean, I kind of thought, you know, we'd be all right. I knew we had, you know, like some decent starters and we could put together a good five, but I did not think we were going to be this good. So, you know, all the credit in the world to the management right now, really.
Yeah. You know what the weird thing is that when you watch the games, right, you can tell that these inferior teams know they have no chance of winning.
Yeah. We come into every game expecting to win, and that hasn't happened since, you know, we were skipping school.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to talk about, you said it. I mean, they're not just winning. They're taking them out to the woodshed. If you notice, there's only a couple of teams in the league that do that, and they're like the Miami and OKCs. OKC was up 51 on Charlotte the other day, which is a good team, which is, they're a middle-of-the-pack team. The Knicks are getting up by 20 points on a regular basis. I mean, to me, that's like the sign that this is a team that's got a deep playoff run ahead of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's actually hurting Carmelo's numbers a little bit, too, because he ends up coming out of the game in the third quarter and he never comes back in. Like, I wanted him to win a scoring title this year, but I don't know if it can happen if we're going to keep getting up by 25, you know, every other game.
You know, it's so funny. I was just thinking that because I tweeted the other day when he was so hot. I'm like, he's going to have the high score game for the NBA this year. Remember that game where he started off 6-for-6? I think it was Milwaukee. And then they're up 20 and he's out and ends up with 30 points. You know, and it's like, we want to see him go for 50. How are we going to do that when we keep winning?
That's right. That's the problem. But I really think a lot of it goes to the Olympics. I feel like him playing hard all through the summer and, you know, being the leading scorer on that team, like, I feel like that's really carrying through right now. So I think this is his year to do it. That's why I want to see him win that scoring title.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a stat checker too. You know, he's pissed when he gets taken out for the fourth quarter and he has 29.
I think I don't want to say he's pissed. I think he's aware of it. I don't think he's pissed. Like, I think he wants a ring. You know, he knows this is his chance. So
Thing, right? Melo's a young guy and he's in shape, so keeping him out there wouldn't really hamper anything. It's just sort of a thing you don't do. You don't keep your star in when you're up, you know, 25 points.
Yeah, well, because what if he rolls an ankle up 30? Right. Like, you can't have it happen. You know, you can't have a Gronkowski moment.
Yeah,
that's my little shot at the Patriots.
Right, yeah, there. I know, but I don't buy into that. I think players get injured whenever they get injured. I mean, I think you take him out however you take him out. I don't think it makes a difference.
So you're saying play him up 30, get him a scoring title. All right, I'm with you. Fine.
I'm just saying it would be different if Melo was older, but he's a guy who plays 40 minutes a night. I mean, that's just – he's in terrific shape too. It would be different if it was on a back-to-back night or something, but – yeah,
well,
I want to kill.
That's the other thing. There's a lot of games, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's an 82 game season, but I want to see him go for 50 at least a couple times this year.
He will. He will, guaranteed.
I mean, because he's playing the best of every. I noticed on ESPN they do their 5-on-5 thing, and they ranked. They said who's the NBA MVP right now when it was only LeBron and Durant, which kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, I you cannot have a conversation about that without including Melo. I don't think. I mean, Melo is the best player by far on one of the best teams, playing as well as anybody, playing defense. I mean, you can't really measure what he's doing on defense, but he's getting every loose ball. He's playing he's covering every position. Like, the guy is, and without him, what are we? We're nothing. So, yeah. You know,
I think you also have to watch the Knicks games to know all that. I think you have to be like a Knicks fan to see that his assist totals are misleadingly low too.
That's right. That's why the nationally televised games are so important.
Yeah, because he gets a lot of those hockey assists all the time.
I don't know if we had one of those in 13 years, and now we have, like, you know, every game there's six or seven possessions where it gets swung. There's the extra pass. Someone hits it. I mean, it's just awesome. It's great to watch. It's really fun.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this: you're a film producer. What do you think about potentially lining up J.R. Smith and Steve Novak to do a buddy comedy?
I wonder what their conversations are like.
I mean, there's definitely some sort of weird kinship there, right? I've never seen J.R. Smith be so unselfish, but there's nothing he loves more than passing up a wide open three to give it to Novak.
They love Novak. They really do. They love – because he's so unconscious from three. It's a layup for him, and – I think they respect the hell out of that, you know? Like, if you go play pickup at some gym somewhere and you can show you're that little white dude that can sit in the corner and knock it down every time, make them look good for kicking it out to you, they appreciate that. So that's Novak.
I appreciate that on the playgrounds when somebody leaves. I mean, I'm not anywhere near as good as Novak, but I appreciate when they give it to the slow white guy. For
Yeah, yeah. It's Rudy. Novak's Rudy, but he just happens to be actually really good.
Yeah. What was I going to ask you about? So this is an amazing story. I don't know if you heard this. Jared Swerling told me that in 2006, I guess, when Novak was drafted in his draft workout for the Spurs, he hit 96 out of 100 threes.
That can't be true. Seriously.
I don't know.
I mean, if it's true for anybody, it's true for Novak.
It's hard to believe, but only because it's Novak. You could be like, I would have guessed 94, 92.
I wish someone had been pointing a camera at him when that happened.
Yeah, that would be one of those, like, JPP doing the 18 backflips on a field kind of thing.
That's awesome.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you, where are the Knicks going this year? Make a prediction for this season.
I think we're going to get that 2 seed. I think we're going to have a cakewalk in the first round. I think we're going to, you know, come up against some, you know, upstart like Sixers type squad in the second round and struggle a little bit. And I think we're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and play the Heat. And from there, I'm not going to make any predictions, but, you know, I definitely think we're the second best team in this conference. And, you know, I don't think anybody wants to see us. If we can stay healthy, we're really dangerous.
I know. I think all Knicks fans sort of share that sentiment. Like, we don't want to go on record as saying we can beat the Heat, but we all feel that we can play with them.
We can play with the Heat, definitely. I don't know if we can beat them, but we can definitely play with them.
I think it would take the right breaks, and Melo would have to hit the last shot multiple times in that series.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if Amari can get comfortable coming off the bench – and that second five can, like, really do their job, then, you know, that goes such a long way. I mean, that's how championships get won. So You know, I think Amare is a real big key, even though he's not involved yet.
I also think the other key is that Tyson Chandler and Jason Kidd beat Miami.
That's true. That's true. They have that mental edge. They have the ring. And Tyson's by far the best volleyball player in the league.
I love that. How does he do that? Yes. With the left hand where he flips it into the
Yeah, ring? I don't know what sport he's playing, but he's amazing at it.
Yeah, I want to hang out with him. Which Nick would you want to hang out with most?
I think it's Shumpert. I think it's Shumpert for me.
Yeah, Zwirling
also young because of that voice. You got to find a clip of his voice.
Yeah, Zwirling also told me he's the biggest trash talker outside of Sheet on the Knicks.
Shumpert is?
Yeah.
You could see it from his tweets and stuff.
I like a cocky young player like that. It's good to have one on our team. We have like three,
and by far the best haircut in the league.
Oh yeah, easily. So before we let you go, tell us about what you got going on in work wise. Tell us about this movie. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is this movie. It's called Welcome to the Jungle. I describe it as like The Office meets Lost. So a group of employees go to an island and everything goes to shit. It turns into like a Lord of the Flies type thing. Jean-Claude Van Damme plays like the leadership guru who leads the group out there. And it's a funny group of people. Adam Brody is the main guy. Kristen Shaw from Flight of the Conchords and The Daily Show is in it. She's hilarious. Dennis Haysbert. Major League and President Palmer.
Love him. Love President Palmer. I think they probably wanted him for Homeland, but he was doing your movie.
Exactly right. So it's a great cast. We had a lot of fun. We shot it in Puerto Rico earlier this year, and Universal just bought it, and it'll be coming out next summer. So I'll come back and talk to you again before then.
That's awesome. Can you give us any good Van Damme gossip or a good story?
Man, Van Damme gossip. First of all, he's a legend. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. He would stay up till 4 a.m. on the beach in Puerto Rico with us, just telling us stories. He's got an amazing explanation of Belgian waffles and why that's such a big thing in his country. He was playful. We had his kids in the movie also, so it was just a family affair. It was great, man. I'm trying to think of specific Van Damme stories, but the guy is just an animal, and he's really, really funny. And this is his first comedy. And he really, you know, he was willing to do anything. I mean, we're pushing him around in a wheelbarrow. He's doing like bird calls. You know, he was willing to do anything. So
I love that. I'm shocked nobody has tried to get that guy in a comedy before. You know, now especially like the nostalgia. You know, 20 years goes by and we want these guys back in our lives.
That's right. I mean, the Expendables show that. The Expendables is almost a comedy. It's funny, you know. Yeah. So. And he's great in that, and he's really funny in this, man. I'm excited for everybody to see it.
All right, well, cool, man. And we can follow you on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
It's Justin_Kanew, Kanew. The underscore, you know, I don't like it any more than anyone else does, but I've had it for so long that
I'm Matt Ritter 1, so, you know, yeah. you get what you get on Twitter.
Yes.
All right, cool, man. Well, really appreciate you having, you know, taking the time to do the podcast. We'll get you on later in the year when we're still undefeated at home.
And my secret is, and I'm going to tell you this, my secret is I also tweet sometimes from a separate account called Nick Dude.
Oh, we got to check that out. What's that one about?
That's just all Nick stuff because I don't want to flood my real feed with Nick stuff. So Nick's Dude is me.
You're making me regret my last 6 months on Twitter.
Well, I do it for the Jets already, so it's just too much.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Well, anyway, listen, thanks for doing it, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks. Hey, everybody. We are back with our co-host, Jeff Cerulli. Jeff, let's start off with the beginning of the week. It started off a little rocky. We lost a really tough game to the Nets. Now looking back a week later, do you feel like that, you know, was as significant now after we rebounded and won three games?
Yeah, I mean, the thing we've been talking about all season with this team is how do you come out, how do you respond, and how do they play when they play a subpar team? And so far, every time, they're killing them. It's not even just beating. They're killing them. The Mavericks at home, the Mavericks, their place, not our place, not MSG, and the Knicks are still undefeated at home. You know, it's not such an easy game, but that's a little bit of a letdown on the Rockets. Obviously, they got blitzed. But so far, when you play the Hornets and the Magic and the Suns at home and the Wizards, there's no letdown. They're killing these teams, and that's good. That's what you want to see. That's what we've been talking about, what contenders do, and that's what really good teams do. Right now, the Nets are getting a lot of respect. I feel like everyone is talking about the Nets Heat Eastern Conference Finals. I was watching NBA TV yesterday, Dennis Scott and Kendall Gill, which I don't know how Dennis Scott gets jobs. Do you see that video with him with kids years ago where he's like yelling at the kids and like acting all tough?
Yeah, he's a bit sloppy up there as an announcer. I feel like there should be some sort of announcer rankings.
I don't know why he is has a job. One of my favorite announcers now is like with NBA TV. You can see the locals. We were talking about that. Is the Clippers announcer? Who's that guy that gets so into it?
Oh yeah, I mean it's probably a former player, right?
I don't know if he's a former player, but he gets so into it because I was watching the game Chauncey Billups' first game back.
Yeah.
He hit a three, and he was like, bang, Chauncey Billups, he is back. Oh, my God. He was just going nuts.
Yeah, well, that's what I told you. These local guys, they outside of New York, they take license to just completely root for their teams.
It was so good. And then he had another three open, and he missed it. And he was like, Chauncey Billups, well, all right, he missed it, but he's back. He's back, and he was going nuts, and I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, even today – I was listening to the former son, Eddie Johnson, calls the games for the Suns.
Oh, Eddie Johnson.
Yeah, and all he was talking about was how biased the refs were. There was home cooking. And it's like, Eddie Johnson, your team's down 25. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I know Eddie Johnson. That's funny. Yeah, but you know what? It was a good it's good to see them bounce back. And the Nets game was an interesting game because I was – who I'm a big fan of, Svelton, clearly his worst game. He went 3-for-19, and he forced the issue. He didn't do what a point guard's supposed to do, which is get people involved. Didn't do it. You know, I think they were up 3 with like 2 minutes left. He's coming down court. He's shooting these runners that aren't working. That was a bad game by him. But they went to overtime. They were right there. The Nets are actually pretty good. You got to give it to them.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe I just make this up in my head. I imagine that there are certain beefs and certain, like, players that you want to – like, I imagine that Felton had a bad game because he was trying too hard to prove to Deron Williams, because they were in the same draft class, that he's as good as him.
And plus he gets all the respect that Felton does.
Right.
Just like Jeremy Lin, they didn't lose because of Felton. They lost because they laid an egg that night. But Felton was quoted as being like, you know, we don't really talk about him. It's about what we're doing this year. And, you know, obviously they had that circle. That game circled, and they were like, oh, we got to win this one, which I do think they'll get the revenge at the Garden.
Yeah, but don't you think it's a bad sign that the two games that Raymond Felton had circled as I want to win these, he had the worst games of his season?
Yes, but I do like what he's been doing this year, and I'm willing to be okay with it for now.
I also think Deron Williams likes to annihilate, like, potential threats to his New York threat. Like, he humiliated Lin last year.
He started Linsanity, though. He's the one responsible for it.
Right. So I think he took it on as a personal mission to completely annihilate Lin after that. And then I think he's starting to see Felton getting, you know, crowned as the knight in shining armor, the point guard of New York, and he completely abused him, last week.
Yeah. And he had a good game. And I don't know how Jerry Stackhouse, how did we get out-olded? We've got all the good old guys, and apparently Jerry Stackhouse, he had 4 or 5 three-pointers against the Knicks. He had 17 points the next game. How did we not get this guy? We got every old guy.
It really is amazing that we got out-olded. I mean, honestly, if you would have told me you saw Stackhouse, Sheed, Kurt Thomas, Camby, and Kidd playing at the Y, I'd be less shocked than telling me they're playing in an NBA game in 2012.
Yeah, dude. And Sheed's been valuable and he's been good. And Marcus Camby has been the opposite of that. But, yeah, man, Jerry Stackhouse, he was not on our radar.
Yeah, but, you know, look, I mean, where would Stackhouse play? He would take Novak's minutes, you know? Where would he go?
Novak, who's lighting it up again, apparently. Doing well.
I think he probably watched his own beginnings episode on MSG and that inspired him.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see. Did you see Shumpert's beginnings? I didn't see it yet.
No, I want to see that. I want to see that.
Yeah, I didn't see that one yet. Novak, he's coming alive a little bit. But to wrap up about this Nets game, it's a tough game. It's not an easy win. They were up 10. They were up 3. They were down 7. It was a real back-and-forth game. And, could have won either way. I'll never give Melo shit. He plays pretty much the whole game, and he's the offense. But it really sucked that he shot 1 of 2 three times in the fourth quarter, missed those free throws. And then the last shot was kind of like rushed. They took it, wasn't a great look, and a lot of things could have went differently. But
yeah,
it was fun.
I mean, I put that loss squarely on Felton and Woodson. Woodson, because he played Melo too many minutes, and if you're going to play Melo that many minutes, then Felton's got to get him the ball in the fourth quarter.
No kid hurt him, too. Kid would have helped out.
Yeah, but, you know, that. I mean, look, that loss falls on Felton, and, you know.
Yeah, he's 3 of 19, no excuse.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, it happens. Everybody on the Knicks is going to have a bad shooting night every now and then, and, you know, we still were in the game. It was, by the way, the intensity level was amazing.
Yeah, when it was a playoff atmosphere game.
Yeah, I mean, it was the hardest fought game in the NBA this year.
Yeah, I mean, both times wanted to win, even though I know this New Jersey Nets, Brooklyn Nets, course of habit, Knicks, it's totally media created because these teams were both formed very recently. So I think they're buying into it and they both want to be the king of New York, which
yeah,
is great.
Do we have to call them Brooklyn Nets? I've been calling them the New Jersey Nets. I think I'm going to continue to call them New Jersey Nets.
Yeah, you can do that.
I'm going to. So, I mean, look, we rebounded, we absolutely crushed Milwaukee, Washington, and Phoenix. I mean, even though today's score was 7 points, we were up 20 in all these games.
Yeah, dude, they killed all these teams. And that's what you want to see. I mean, the Wizard game Friday wasn't close. It was close at times, but it was just never a real threat. You never were like, oh, Washington. And one thing I thought was interesting, I went on Twitter, and there was a tweet from you about Pablo Prigioni, about how you're loving his game. And it's interesting because I think about the second or third podcast, you were like, this guy's garbage. I don't like him. He doesn't do anything. And I was like, I'm mad at third string. He's pretty good for a third string. He likes pick and roll. He can shoot a little bit. So what do you want to do? Do you want to defend yourself? Do you want to eat crow or what, man?
You know, I'm tempted to defend myself. But then, if I defend myself, then it just furthers me from being able to enjoy what he's doing. So I think the best thing to do is for me to officially apologize to Prigioni, to you, to Jared Swirling, to the entire Knick Nation, and the entire nation of, where is he from, Italy? To the entire Italian,
Yeah, he was born in Italy, but he played in Argentina.
So I also apologize to the Argentines, not the Argentinians. A lot of people get that wrong. I apologize. It's a beautiful thing to see a guy who's, you know, just pass first, but is really now exploiting people leaving him open. He's got a good jumper, and he's defensively, his steals are just amazing.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm on the train. Look, Jeff was right. I was wrong. I like his game.
Yeah.
And we're going to need him. Felton just got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, it's just a bone bruise. He might be out a few games. Not originally, when I was reading, I saw on Twitter, he's like broken hand. And it's like, that's, you know, that's 4 or 5 months. So essentially, he could be back in maybe a week or two.
The one guy I really don't want to lose is Raymond Felton. I mean, obviously Melo aside, but actually Chandler, everybody in the Knicks is great. What am I saying? I mean, they're all irreplaceable. But if anything, as long as Kidd comes back, we should be okay.
When is he listed to come back?
Well, he's day to day. He's got back spasms. You know, I mean, he's a 40-year-old man. I mean, look, I remember my dad getting back spasms when he was 40. And I thought it was laughable as a kid, but now that I'm 33 and I'm starting to have back spasms, I can see why you would skip out on work for a couple weeks.
I had it once. It's awful. It locks your back up. Like, you can't bend. You can't stay straight. Like, I had it once. I don't have a great back. Sometimes it goes out. Yeah, back spasms are just – I mean, the back is just tricky in general. You get a back injury. Like,
doing this weird thing now. My girlfriend comes home and she sees me watching the games from the floor. She's like, so you're just doing that now? I'm the guy who watches TV on the floor now.
That's like Steve Nash.
Uh-huh. I do the end of the bench. That's how I watch my television, with the trainer working my hammies on the end of the bench.
Yeah, that's a less athletic Steve Nash.
Yeah, much less. By the way, the Wizards, you know, you get those questions when a team is this bad. Are they at the level where maybe the top college team in the country could give them a run?
Love it. Two things I love. I love that, and I also, I don't know what it's going to take. I want to see men play women. Is this so hard to get for me? I'd like to see, what's the best women's team? It was always that UConn team.
What if we got that UConn team to play? Jerry Stackhouse, Marcus Camby, Kurt Thomas, Jason Kidd, and Rasheed Wallace.
What's the limit? Like, let's put the women UConn team that was fucking killing guys well, women, that was doing really well. What is the highest form of men's team they can beat? Can they beat a high school team? Yes, absolutely.
Well, let's not get carried away. You're talking about like these national powerhouses that usually field.
No. I'm not talking about fucking Oak Hill Academy with Carmelo Anthony. I'm talking about like a regular. Where did you go to high school? You went to Roslyn?
No, I went to Plainview, and you went to where? Baldwin? No.
I went to Plainview? No, I went to Hewlett High School.
Yeah. Well, Plainview was Division I terrible basketball team.
Yeah. Plainview. Okay.
Although we did have a kid who was 7 feet tall who ended up playing at Harvard.
Oh, wow. With Jeremy Lin?
I think he did play with Lin, actually.
Linsanity. So, yeah, I mean, like, what is the highest form that they could beat a win? Okay, let's take a WNBA team. Who won? The Lynx? Did the Lynx win the championship?
I don't even want to pretend that I know anything about the WNBA. No disrespect.
The Lynx won, because I think I read that the Lynx won. So Lynx, who can the Lynx beat?
They can beat any high school team in the country.
Are you even like a prep school that has guys that are going to make the NBA, like Oak Hill Academy?
No, any generic high school in the country that doesn't have a team that was assembled to become future NBA players.
So like Plainview High School, it could beat?
They could probably beat the best team in our division, like the D1 Long Island team that has one good athlete that'll probably go, to a good D1 college. That's their best player.
But I feel like, here's the thing, girls, they're playing a system and they play all the time. So that gives you a leg up over just a team that's going to be like athletes.
Yeah, it's like when you go play basketball at the park and there's one team that they always play together. They're going to be a little bit better.
You say fundamentals, like, and anytime like I'm playing in the league this year again, and it's like anytime we play a team that's like good that's played together, we're always like, oh, they got good fundamental. So I feel like I remember I talked to I played with this guy Brad. I was playing on his team for a while. I was like, could we beat UConn? And he's like, our size would beat them because we had a few guys that were like 6'6", 6'5". He's like, they would be able to pound it down low.
Right. Well, that's the thing, right? If there's a high school team that's got 6'6" guys, then the women are toast.
So they couldn't even beat my New York Urban basketball team?
You know what? Let's see if we can get a charity event together. A men's New York Urban Professional League. Are we talking about the top team in the New York Urban Professional League?
I'm in Division I, right? We're the 2 seed. We finished 6-2. The playoffs are on Thursday. Okay? We have a guy that's 6'6", 6'5", and I think 6'4". That's three guys that are pretty tall. Can we beat the Lynx?
I would like to see that as a charity match. We'll donate all the money to, Nick City Dancers. Is that a charity?
That's not a charity. That's a dance organization for the Knicks.
Oh, I thought that was a charity. Oh, that's a dance organization, the Nick City Dancers. All right. Well, they make very little money, and I feel like they should make more money.
How much money do they make?
I think they make a couple hundred bucks a game.
Yeah.
I feel like we should donate the charity to Nick City Dancers.
Dude, I'm with you, man. And this is something that I've been curious about for a while, and I would like to have it solved. So if we try to coast by on our athletics. We play once a week. It's not like, we're like the most amazing team. But I think, I don't know, man. The Lynx play together. They play all the time.
Listen, if there are any WNBA fans listening, if there are any WNBA players that are listening to this podcast, email us and let's see if we can arrange some sort of charity match between the New York Urban Professional League playoff team that Jeff is on and a group of WNBA players. Maybe we can get an actual team. Are they in their off season right now?
Yes, they are. That season ended a little while ago, I think.
Yeah, so what is it, like a 3-week season?
It's basically a 2-week season. You play 3 games, and that's it.
And then they have a round robin 2-game playoff.
They play 21. The final, I think, is 21. Yeah,
I always thought it was horse, but maybe they changed it to 21.
No, dude. It's around the world to get in. Horse is the first round, and 21 is the final.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I would really pay a very little money to see that charity game.
Dude, I want it. I want it to happen. I want to see what is the highest men's team.
Well, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get a WNBA player on this podcast to debate this.
Here's the thing, man. My sister plays in the WNBA.
She does?
No, I'm fucking.
Oh, that would be a very convenient really way. That's what a bad movie does. They go, oh, and his sister plays in the WNBA. So.
Yeah, my sister does not play the WNBA, but she wants to.
Yeah, so. Nobody wants to play in the WNBA.
I mean, I don't even make that much money. That's the thing.
I think they make 30 to 40 grand each, except for the stars. The stars probably make six figures.
It's Becky. When did this turn into a WNBA
bashing? All right, let's move on from the WNBA bashing.
But anyway, it's an interesting thing to me of how where could the women be? And if there's anyone listening to the podcast, you want to email me or Facebook me, I'm just curious. I'm very interested.
I think it's something that all guys are curious about. I wonder if women ever even consider it or if they just don't care.
But Matt, dude, you've played basketball. Have you ever played against like a woman? Where like it sucks, it's terrible because there's no win. And like I remember last summer, dude, your boy Dave Siegel,
yeah,
asked me to play in a Zog team.
Yep.
So I didn't know anything about Zog, but the first game I go there, and there's girls with like jerseys.
Oh,
on.
There's a Zog is just full of girls.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, that's cute. They're wearing their boyfriend's shirt. Like, oh no, wait, we're playing them. And like, yeah, the first game had two girls on the team. And I'm like, of course, like, dumb luck, I get stuck guarding the girl.
That's the worst like, part. I don't mind playing with a girl as long as I don't have to guard her.
Yeah, and I'm like, do I play hard? Do I not? And I ended up stealing the ball from her on the first play and getting a layup, and the ref booed me.
Oh, man. See, that's exactly why it's tricky, you know? I mean, if the girl isn't a level of a WNBA player, she has no business playing in Urban Professional or Zog.
Well, Zog is more like beer drinking, like. But anyway, and then I remember there was another game where there was this Asian girl. She was half Asian, dude. She was kind of cute, I gotta admit. And she would like had a 3-point shot, and I think she hit one.
You let her hit it because you wanted to date her.
And then after we went out, we played love and basketball. We played strip. Anyway,
I think Zog is mostly about trying to meet chicks to get laid, though, isn't it?
I didn't enjoy the league. I got hurt and I couldn't finish. It was just like randomly, but. Yeah, New York Urban has its own women division.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. That's yeah. Exactly. Listen, there's two places where men and women shouldn't mix. It's an Urban Professional League and at Rub and Tugs.
I agree with you.
They should have their own Rub and Tugs. all right, let's get back to this next week. So today we had another big, pretty easy win. It looked close at the end, but it really wasn't. A couple of things that are starting to slightly concern me. One is J.R. Smith's consistency level has gotten way down.
Garbage. Because it's terrible.
He's contributing, though. I mean, he still managed to dish out 6 assists today, which was nice.
Yeah, man. Look, I shouldn't say he's garbage. I take that back. But besides Melo, who is the consistent scorer that you know is going to be on? Melo's on every game.
Well, right now it was, up until his injury, looking like Felton, actually.
Yeah, it was. Clyde Frazier had a good point once, and I always liked it. He was like, the difference between good players and great players are great players do it every night. Good players do it some nights. And it's true. It's a simple thing, man. Melo is a great player. You can count on him every night to score, and he's going to put those buckets in. J.R. Smith is a good scorer, but there's going to be nights where he's not on.
Yeah, well, he also doesn't have what Melo has. Melo has a reliable Melo has multiple reliable go-to moves. And he's, you know, like, Melo can just do the step-back jumper. He can post you up. He can drive to the hoop and draw fouls. J.R. Smith, his jumper is really important for his success game to game.
Yeah.
Like, J.R. Smith cannot have a good game if he's not shooting well, whereas Melo could shoot 40% from the field and still dominate a game.
Agree.
The other thing that's really bothering me, and I talked about this with Justin a little earlier, I'm annoyed by the fact that Melo isn't – we're only in New York is he getting MVP talk. When you read ESPN today, they had a 5-on-5 thing, who's the MVP thus far. It was only LeBron and Durant mentioned, and I think that's really disrespectful to what Melo's done this year.
Yeah, you know what? It comes down to – it's like this. It's like the Knicks suck. They're very good this year. Is Melo not going to get any credit for that?
Yeah, it's almost ludicrous to have a discussion of MVP when Melo, LeBron, and Durant do the same exact things for their team. Their teams have the same exact record, and yet Melo's not in that convo.
the bad stigma Melo gets. Now, he's done a lot of shithead things, but it's a bad stigma of just like, oh, he's just a scorer. They don't take him seriously.
Well, I think nobody outside of New York, other than on national and televised games, gets to see, like, they see his 1.9 assists or 2.1, and they don't see that that's inaccurate to describe how well he's dishing the ball.
Yeah, I, that's the thing. His assists, I think, are actually down this year in terms of stats.
Yeah.
But anyone who's watched the game knows you can call him hockey assists or whatever you want. He's passing the ball better than he usually does.
Yeah, he also, by the way, when Justin and I were talking about this, like, he's sitting out multiple fourth quarters because we're just destroying teams. We're destroying teams. He could be averaging 35 a game right now.
I agree. 100%.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is Mr. Amari, when he comes back, is saying, I will gladly come off the bench because I'm all about team. And it's run through a third party. I think Amari starts when he comes back. Not, maybe not when he comes back the first week, but I think he starts. I don't think Melo wants to play the four the rest of the season. I think Amari's the power forward.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about it? You know, it depends on the matchups. I think most of the time it's not a problem for Melo defensively, but there are a couple of those guys in the low block that are just absolutely really hard for him physically. I think we don't want that toll on him over the whole year.
You want to guard Zach Randolph next time he sees him?
That's exactly who I was thinking about. Like, guys like Zach Randolph, he has no interest in guarding.
Even Chris Bosh. Bosh is tall. Like,
yeah, no, look, there's a lot of guys that could present matchup problems for Melo defensively, but you got to give him a ton of credit. And that's the other thing, right? Nationally, you don't see how well he's playing defense on the post.
No, you don't. You don't see it. Unless you're
watching. There's no number to represent how well he's played defensively this year.
No, there isn't.
Yeah. What do you think about, I mean, look, this month just started, you know, this was the first game of December. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule in front of us. It's a tremendously difficult month. I mean, how do you see this playing out?
Well, they got the Bobcats what, on Tuesday?
Wednesday. Then we have at Charlotte, at Miami, Saturday at Chicago, Sunday home for Denver, Tuesday at the Nets, Thursday the Lakers come to town.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch. Tough stretch. So you said the Nuggets too, right?
Yep.
Away or home?
Home.
Still a tough game. Nuggets are feisty.
We also, later on in the month, play Chicago and the Lakers again, and Minnesota, and the Nets, and Houston.
Yeah, it's tough games. It's a tough stretch.
This is a brutal month. This is our hardest month. I mean, I'm looking at the whole schedule. This is the month.
Let me see. I'm going through right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is, if we can really get past this month in good shape, if we can sort of like play slightly above 500 this month, we would be in great shape.
Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, the really tricky ones, I mean, we have two against Brooklyn, two against the Lakers, two against Chicago. Those are six really hard games. You know, Miami, Houston, Minnesota, that's a lot of hard games in one month. That's nine. By my count, that's nine very losable games. And then we have four easy games. We have Charlotte, which is maybe easy. And then we have Cleveland, Phoenix, Sacramento, which should all be wins.
Yeah, Charlotte's 7-8 right now. They're going to beat Charlotte on Wednesday.
Of course they are. Oklahoma City was beating them by 50 the other night. And I think the Knicks are almost as good as OKC.
So here's the thing. They're going to beat Charlotte. They're going to lose to Miami, especially because they beat them game one. They'll lose to Miami. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think Miami will pull away.
Yeah, also it'll be the second night of a back-to-back, so the only way I could see the Knicks winning is if we handle our biz in Charlotte and Melo sits and Felton's healthy.
It's like sometimes like these back-to-backs giving them trouble. Chicago, I think, is a win. I think after
at
a few
Chicago,
days off.
I don't know, man. Chicago is a tough place to play.
And then Denver at home, and then they're back to Brooklyn, which, when do we play Brooklyn at MSG? Obviously.
We play December them a week 20. Later at MSG.
Lakers is a tough game, but then the Cavs, they should win, and Houston, I think you get your revenge at MSG. The only thing I'll say about this home, it's a homestand.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Five games at home in a row.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you. We should win four out of six home games, but at very least, but you never know. I mean, this is the time where we're really going to find out what the Knicks are made of. You know?
Yeah, you're right. Six games. Minnesota after that. They have
These are, and then Christmas Day with the Lakers. By that time, the Knicks are going to be seen by the national media as a legitimate championship contender, or they're going to be seen as that second tier, number two seed behind Miami, but not capable of knocking them off.
No one considers them a championship team. People consider them a fun story. They're playing well, but no one actually, when push comes to shove, thinks they'll beat Miami.
Right.
No.
The question is, if we roll off, you know, a bunch of wins and beat Miami this month, by Christmas Day, I think the national media will come around and say these guys are legitimate, if that happens.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, what else do you have to do? If you rip these rip it off, have a good homestead, and then you beat the Lakers at home on Christmas, that should do it. But, you know, you never know. I mean, people are giving I feel like people are saying the Nets heat. That's all I'm hearing right now, Nets heat in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's yet to be seen how good the Nets are as well. I mean, they're definitely – they got handled by the Heat today pretty easily.
Yeah, good team, though. Yeah, I like what they have going on. Obviously, they have one of the best point guards who's playing well. And the bench is good, man. When you're getting 17 points out of Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah, listen, the New Jersey Nets are a solid team.
Yeah. They're good, man. You got rebounding with Lopez and Humphreys. It's good, man. And they handled the Celtics. I mean, that's a division game.
Whatever. Yeah, I feel like the Celtics are fading big time. They're just not that caliber anymore.
Even so, they just fucking handle them. It's funny. The Knicks don't play the Celtics till the end of January.
I know. I see that. It's interesting that for some reason they put three Nets games on the schedule. You know, by December, it's.
Celtics still have 9 wins right now. Like they're not, they're still hanging around. But whether you believe in them or not, they're still, you know.
Oh, listen, they're going to be in the playoffs. I just don't believe in them as a legitimate threat anymore.
No, I don't. And originally before the season, as we know on podcast one, I predicted them to get the 2 seed, and I would rescind that.
Are you now going on record? Are you going on record?
2 seed either going to be the Knicks or the Nets. I mean, isn't that clear at this point?
I think it's pretty clear, and I think that's the funny thing about the NBA. As opposed to maybe the NFL.
Yeah.
I think at this point in the year, you can tell pretty much where the team is.
Yeah.
With a few exceptions. The Lakers, obviously, because of all their issues, you don't know yet. But other than the Lakers, is there a team in the NBA right now that you're not pretty sure who they are?
Clippers. Am I supposed to take you seriously or not? You lost like 4 in a row. Now you just won 2 in a row. Like, do I take the Clippers seriously?
Well, they have that joke of a coach, Vinny Delpino, you know?
Yeah.
Doug, hey Doug, get the game.
Yeah, you know what? And also I think, Philadelphia is going to get Bynum back like after the All-Star break. Like, what are you really getting out of them at that point, you know?
You're gonna get not a championship contender at all, but, you know, they're a good team. There'll be a second-round matchup for the Knicks, very tough second-round matchup. That's what I think is their destiny.
Do you think they're winning a round?
Philly? Depends. I mean, they'll be the 4-5, right? Or the 3-6.
Miami's going to get the 1 seed. I think we can all agree on
that.
Yeah,
and the Knicks and Nets are 2-3. We don't know the order yet. I think Chicago and Boston or Chicago is 4-5. Boston, Chicago, Philly are all in that 4-5-6. Atlanta? Atlanta's in that 4-5-6 mix.
Atlanta's 9-5. Like, dude, the Eastern Conference, you got... Miami's 12-3, and then let's put the Knicks at 2 right now because that's where they would be at 12-4.
Yep.
Then Brooklyn 11-5 at the 3 seed, and then it's just a mess of 9-8, 7-10 win teams.
Yeah, I mean you've got that Indiana squad that gets Granger back some point in the year.
8-9 right now.
That's pretty good for not having Granger.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm counting 9 teams. Well, Bobcats might get in, too, at 7-8.
I think the Bucks probably get that 8 seed.
Well, right now they're tied for the division, which will probably go to the Bulls.
Yeah.
If they figure it out and then Rose comes back.
Oh, you know what? I think that's actually the thing I'm most excited for, the NBA later on this year, Derrick Rose's return.
Don't want to face them. You do not want to face them.
He's the only guy that's legitimately as good. You know, we're talking about the three best players in the league right now being Durant, LeBron, and Melo. Derrick Rose is the only guy who can enter that conversation right now.
Yeah, you don't want to face them if they get powered up and Rose is really healthy because then it's like,
yeah,
It's almost like Knicks in 99.
By the way, the Lakers are still a sleeping giant. Kobe Bryant's playing some of the best basketball of his career, weirdly.
Yeah, they're going to get in there, no problem. No questions asked, but it's just where will they be?
Yeah, I don't see any – the way Oklahoma City's playing, I don't see them not making the finals.
Oklahoma City. What about the Spurs?
Nah, they just don't have it. I mean, Duncan is too old. I see him playing well here and there, but
– What about the Grizzlies?
They don't have enough outside shooting. I mean, I've been watching them, you know?
Not a big Josh Selby
Wayne Ellington –
What's the asshole from Jared Bayless, then?
Bayless, yeah, these guys are not guys who are going to win an NBA. Their name is not going to be enshrined in the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Yeah.
So I don't see it. So, yeah, man, I mean, big week this week. What do you think? So you're thinking win Charlotte, loss Miami, win Chicago, and then home at Denver Sunday. What do you think there? Win?
Right now, I'm going back to the schedule. I think they're going to beat the Wizards. I think they're going to beat the Suns. I think they're going to kill both of those teams. Oh, wait, that happened.
Yeah, okay. No, you're right. You're a great prognosticator. I think the Denver game's a good one, though. It's a good barometer. Just win at home against a team that plays really hard.
They're going to beat the Bobcats. So they're going to go to 13-4 and then 13-5.
I predicted 13-4 2 weeks ago in our podcast for the matchup with Miami.
Yeah, they're gonna lose to Miami. They just are, man. It's a revenge game. They're just gonna lose. It's in Miami. But I think they bounced back. They beat Chicago at home. You don't seem so confident.
No, I'm not very confident in that at all. Chicago plays really hard, man.
They're going to lose two in a row, you think?
Also, Taj Gibson is a very tough matchup for Melo.
Yeah. And then you're going to play Denver at home Sunday. They've been pretty nice at these Sunday games, but it's a Sunday night game.
Yeah, I would like to annihilate Gallinari and Mozgov and Chandler and whoever the first-round pick is that we gave up to.
Oh, who is the first-round pick?
I don't know. I don't know if they used it this year. Maybe it was 2013.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do we still owe people picks from the Isaiah era? I feel like we gave up our picks for the next 7 years.
And then you got the Nets at home, in Brooklyn, Tuesday.
Yeah, let's save that for next week's podcast.
All right, so just for this week, yeah, I think they beat Charlotte, lose to Miami, beat Chicago, beat Denver.
Yeah, I think it's a 2-2 week.
2-2, Matthew, yeah. I mean, sometimes when the Knicks, like when they lost to the Mavs, you're like...
I could see bad things. You know, Felton's out. He's probably out for this whole week. Kid's still out. I mean, Prigioni playing real minutes.
Right. You know what? You're kind of swaying me. I forgot about the injuries. Yeah, it might be a 2-2 week. I could see them. I forgot about Felton being out that we talked about earlier. Yeah, it could be a 2-2.
Hey, listen, that'll be okay. That'll be okay. This whole month is going to be up and down, I feel like.
Yeah.
So look, I mean, if we end up with a 500 month, we'll still end up at, like, let's say we split this month. We've got like 14 games on the schedule, you know, like let's say you go 7-7, right? That puts you at 20-11. That's you know, that's on pace for 50 wins.
Yeah, it is.
So that's how you really have to look at it. You know, obviously 13-4 is amazing, but if we're 20-11 at the end of the month, that's a tremendous record.
Absolutely. Huge improvement. And that's what I've been saying before the season, like, if they get to the second round or the third round, it's a successful season.
Yeah.
It's but where they've been you know we are. We're, for so long. It's
you know
not
we are. We're Knicks fans. But. We're already looking at the championship banners, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's not, though.
You're a very level-headed guy, Jeff. Very level-headed. I'm already seeing stars.
I don't understand how this team has sucked shit for so long, and all of a sudden it's like, well, they don't win a championship. They're terrible.
Because we live in a Twitter. We live in a Twitter age. We need the immediate gratification. You know, I sometimes get off to porn before it even loads.
Because you're anticipating.
I'm anticipating. I'm already. Hey, I already you know have the tissues. Thing. I already have the tissues
Knicks
filled up.
Now.
What's that?
You've never seen a Knicks championship. You've seen a girl get fucked, but you've never seen a Knicks championship in person. You don't know what that's like.
I think I'll probably spontaneously combust if that happens. Anyway, listen, let's wrap it up. You got anything exciting going on this week?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Clyde's Wine and Dine on Wednesday night.
You are there every Wednesday now, huh?
every Wednesday. I have dinner with Clyde Frazier, and we talk about Suits.
Yeah, and you both go over your new thesaurus entries.
Look, man, I'm a precocious neophyte. I need to do this.
Yeah, I am doing the Eagle Rock Comedy Festival on Thursday.
What is that?
Exactly what it sounds like, the Eagle Rock Comedy Festival.
Where is it?
In Eagle Rock, which is near Pasadena.
All right, so it's still in California.
Yeah, it's a legitimate comedy festival. And then I think tomorrow morning I'm on some called D, I don't know what it's called, Metro and D Do the News or something? Metro and Gordon Do the News? I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But obviously, you know, things are busy over here. Things are busy.
All right, well, if you want to get to know me or if anyone wants me, I will be at Wine and Dine Wednesday at 8 p.m.
All right, so we will. Will you guys go check him out over there? And if you're in Cali, come check out the Eagle Rock Comedy Festival. I'll be there on Thursday. And Jeffy and I will be talking about the either 2-2 or 3-1 week that was next Monday.
I love it.
All right, later. We will see you all next week for another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan.